There's something about Thanksgiving that I think gets us thinking about travel, right? Isn't this they say it's one of the busiest travel days of all? Even they wrote a song about it, Over the River and Through the Woods. They ought to talk about over the overpass and through about five zones of construction, maybe it would be more accurate. I'm not entirely sure. I do remember, though, one Thanksgiving in particular, we were headed out of town. And as we went, whatever the reason, the circumstances, young kids, you know, whatever all it was, we had stopped three times in the first 45 minutes for bathroom breaks. Now, this is a moment of confession, I guess, not bragging at all, but I seem to remember saying something like, "This car ain't stopping for a very long time." And by my recollection, that seemed to have scared everybody's bladders into stillness. And we drove 7 hours, by my recollection, all the way to Little Rock, Arkansas, without stopping. And the gas tank was empty by then, so we did just fine. But Max Licato tells a story of one of his travels on Thanksgiving and how it became very meaningful for him when he heard his kids kind of saying the thing that kids say when they're in the car, right? Are we there yet? Right? And all that stuff. And how he learned some really, I think, useful lessons that I want to share a little bit with you as we go on. But first, I want to share this verse from Psalm 50, verse 23. "Whoever offers thanks as a sacrifice honors me. I will let everyone who continues in my way see the salvation that comes from God." I like that particular translation and that particular verse because it points out that thanks is something we know we're supposed to do, right? But when it is also done and it isn't easy to do, when it's done as it's a sacrifice, when there are struggles and challenges in our lives and we still, as God's word encourages us, give thanks because that's God's will for us in Christ Jesus. Something I believe very special happens. Here's how Don Postra wrote it in his book, Space for God. "Gratitude recognizes that a gift has been given, a favor has been done by someone. There is a gift and then there is the giver. But there is more. Gratitude calls for a response to that gift. We thank the giver with an expression of appreciation, a handshake, a hug, a note. A gesture of gratitude completes the exchange. It closes the circle. It lets the love flow back to the giver." Now that makes sense, right? When someone gives something, we try to teach our kids, "Now what do you say to Aunt, you know, Rosie?" Right? Do we try to close that circle, close the cycle, and give thanks back? It makes sense to us. And yet, as much as that makes sense sitting here, I just wonder how often we close that cycle each day. How often we complete that circuit of gratitude. What is it that when someone says thank you to us, a lot of times we go, no problem. No big deal, right? Fine, easy, you know, glad to do it. And someone's trying to close that cycle with us. Or how about 101 or maybe 1,001 things we miss of closing the cycle back to God and thanking Him for. I'd suggest to you that a grateful heart is kind of like a magnet going over, the bits and pieces of our lives, looking and picking up those little things that we just seem to take for granted instead of take for gratitude. Think of, even though it's kind of hard to see in the city lights, right? The zillion stars that shine in the black velvet of our night sky. And we thank God for them. Thank God even for the miracle of muscles that our eyes can read words and notes on a page, and then our brain processes that, and it comes out as voice out of our lungs. And all of that working together. Thank you, God, that your lungs and mine will inhale and exhale something close to 3,000 gallons of air every single day. Thank God for that. Or our heart, which will beat on average for each human being 3 billion times in a lifetime. just keep on going. Thank God for that. Our brain, an electric generator, and on we go. Or maybe it's closer to simpler things. You know, it's the jam on our toast. It's the oatmeal in our bowl. It's the blanket that calms us. It's the joke that delights us. It's the warm laugh and hug of a friend. It's the 1,000 planes that didn't crash today, and the men who didn't leave their wives, and the women who did not turn away from their men, and the children who, though they may have been incredibly tempted to, did not dishonor their parents. They chose not to. Thank God for these and so many others. And I think when we start heading down that path, we realize that gratitude gets us back to the important stuff. What maybe even be the hard stuff at times, to reflect on our accomplishments is to rehearse God's kindliness. To think of his kindliness is to discover his heart. And when you discover his heart, you discover not just the gifts, but you discover a giver, a lover of you and of everyone on this planet who has ever lived. If there's ever a time when anxiety wants to pop in on us, then God can, just like the morning sun burns off a fog, God can help us when our eyes fix on him and when gratitude becomes a part of how we live. Well, Psalm 46, one that's pretty familiar to Lutheran folk, right, that God is a refuge and strength and ever-present help in time of need, maybe that can remind us, and we can thank God, first of all, that he's our refuge. That when the storms are going on around us or even inside of our own hearts, he is the shelter from that storm. He is that ever-present help. He's the protector that when we have to worry, what will I say, what will I do? He says, no, I'm going to go and fight for you. He's our strength. The Lord is my strength and my song. He has become my salvation, Psalm 118 tells us. God saves. And whatever the struggle might be, when we let him hold us in his arms, when we let his voice whisper to us, it's going to be okay. This is not the end. And we have that strength in us to keep on going. And God is good. He's good all the time. All the time he's good. Not everything that happens in our lives is good, right? But he is good. There was a little boy once I heard about who he told his mom, Mom, I don't know what to say for prayers tonight, for my goodnight prayer. She goes, what do you mean? Well, I don't know. I can't think of anything I want to ask God for. And if I can't think of anything I want to ask God for, then why should I pray? And she said, son, I wonder if instead of praying to ask for things, what would happen if you prayed to thank God for the things you already have? Well, he started praying for every single toy in his room and for all of his favorite books and that he wasn't going blind like the little boy down the street and for his teacher. And his prayers that night were maybe 3 or 4 times as long as they would normally be. Maybe it would work that way for us too. When we are more thankful than we are wantful, God offers that to us, that precious peace, that offers that thankfulness really enlarges our hearts. Well, I mentioned Max Licato, and I want to tell that story that as he was there with his 3 children under the age of 7, as they're struggling in the car trying to figure out and find their way, one of the things he realized in all this was he, as the driver, had an important responsibility to remember the destination. Made him really think about God, too, how God's the driver, how God's the Heavenly Father leading his earthly family. And what would happen if every time driving on to Thanksgiving, not just 3 potty breaks in 45 minutes, but every single Dairy Queen, every Buc-ee's, every place that had the world's largest popcorn ball, we had to stop at all of those destinations. God knows that we can't. There are times that he has to say no because the destination that he's really trying to get us to is greater than any of those individual stops that might seem so important to us. Another thing Max talked about was that his children don't quite seem to have the concept of minutes or of miles. And time, I think, gets hard and confusing even for us adults, right? We just wonder when we're in the midst of our pain, we're in the midst of a tough questioning time in our lives, we just don't see a way out and our world gets really small. It's kind of like the little kid in the car going, you know, Dad, when are we going to get there? And I remember us saying this, you know, well, we'll be there in about 5 Barney shows. You know, that tells you the age my kids were going through all this. And you could just imagine, five Barney shows, that's forever. And kids just, they don't get that concept. They're so much in the moment. And aren't we like that sometimes too? The circumstance hits us and we are so in the moment. We lose our perspective of God being good, of God being that refuge and strength, of God being that protector and that provider. And so he would try, as the Father behind the wheel, and as I think the Heavenly Father also does, to remind him, you know, when we get there, it's going to be great. Grandma's going to have your favorite cake, and the food's going to be so good, and you're going to see your cousins. You're going to get to stay up as late as you want because there's no school the next day. And, you know, all these things you would try to tell children to encourage them. Think of all the things God tries to tell us, that when we are there in heaven, the sun brighter than we have ever seen. We actually need to be a sun because God will provide the light. There will be no more death, no more sorrow, no more suffering, no more tears, no more sea. The old order of things, all the suffering will have gone away. And what Paul describes of our life as light and momentary troubles, kind of a surprising thing for someone to say who's been shipwrecked twice, and whipped with 40 lashes five times, and attacked by wild animals and robbers and everything else that Paul went through. He described his life as going through light and momentary troubles. What Paul said is the glory we're going to experience is not worth comparing to these difficulties that we've been through. I just ask you to think about that wherever you are in the journey. If you happen to be in a tough time, a health time, a questioning time, at this time of year, that you remember that your Heavenly Father knows the destination is worth it and knows he can get you there safely, and asks you to trust him and listen to him and remember that the reward is great. When we get there, God, who says the journey will not necessarily be easy, right? He said, in this world you're going to have trouble, but take heart, I have overcome the world. Jesus says that when we get there, it will be so worth it. So worth it. The food we will enjoy, the feast, which whenever we have communion is just a foretaste of how wonderful that is, as God has come to be present with us, as we are present again with him and with all those that we have lost and loved. This goodness of God that he offers, that he promises, this strength is what he tells us. Hang in there. Trust the Father who's driving, that he knows the destination. He knows it's worth it, and he will get us all there. I'm grateful for that little lesson, and helps me hopefully be a better dad on my trips when I want to put my foot down, not just on the accelerator, but on the bathroom break sequence of things. But I hope that it can be a blessing for you on your Thanksgiving. This God who is so good, who reminds us to be thankful for more than we could ever want.